I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Thinking sideways.
I don't understand.
Does not compute.
You never know.
Insufficient data to formulate a reply.
What?
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Well, hi there, and welcome to Thinking Sideways. I'm Joe, joined as always by
Devin
and Steve.
All right. And we're here to solve yet another mystery.
Yeah. Every time.
Always solving.
Uh-huh.
Never just talking about.
Informing.
There's no point in just talking about it. We got to solve it.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so in this episode, we're going to talk about something some of you may have heard about. It's called the Baltic Sea Anomaly. So here's what happened. The real brief overview. There's a team of Swedish divers who call themselves the Ocean X Team, and they go looking for shipwrecks in the Baltic Sea and other places, mostly the Baltic Sea, because that's right next to Sweden, so that's a handy place. And so they find shipwrecks and they salvage whatever valuables they can get. They specialize, they say, in salvaging old alcoholic beverage containers and things like that. And
yeah, they found champagne or something?
Yeah, they
hundreds of bottles or hundreds?
Crates and crates of bottles of this old champagne that's worth all kinds of money.
That's crazy because at that point it's not good anymore, right?
I have no idea. Probably
not. How
does
it stay good when it's super pressurized under water?
But it's cold.
Yeah. That's true. It's kept cold.
Yeah. Well, I assume the bottle's stiff and heavy and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't think the pressure would really do them in it, but the time would maybe make it not taste so great.
Champagne, you don't really want to age that long, right?
I do not know either.
Listeners, call to action. Tell us.
Well, it looks like we've got another unsolved mystery on our hands.
Woo!
Yeah,
we're
so that's
two tonight.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I don't know, and I don't know if people buy those things to drink them or if they
buy them just
to have them. I don't know.
So they'll have it.
Yeah. Just say, I got this really old bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Okay. So anyway, so they were out there scrounging around for shipwrecks, and they found what appeared to be a flying saucer. A really huge flying saucer on the floor of the Baltic Sea.
This is a joke, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people, it's just an anomaly. It's this big object that's about 200 feet across, and it's round and flat and pretty circular. And so naturally, when word, it was a little bit of a mystery to these guys. And when word got out, of course, the usual UFO types thought, well, a flying saucer crashed eons ago, and it's been laying down there ever since.
And we finally found it.
Yeah, so a flying saucer. It's round and flat, as I said, 200 feet in diameter, about 10 to 13 feet thick, and it's resting on a stone pillar that's about 25 feet tall. And the pillar is almost as big around as the saucer itself. There's just some overhang on the edges.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting looking. It's kind of like a really squat mushroom. On the top of the artifact, the anomaly, there's a dome-shaped piece that looks, and I haven't seen a complete picture of it because obviously lighting down at those depths is kind of hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you see, it's called the meringue, and it looks like it looks very, very almost perfectly dome-like and round-like. It's about 4 meters across.
Yeah, it looks like a mushroom almost.
Yeah, yeah. So they also spotted a what they say is a perfectly circular hole about a foot across. And, you know, I've seen pictures of it. I can't tell if it's perfectly circular or not, but they say it is.
And again, I think this is something we should probably just caveat for everything, is that the images that we've got
are bad.
Well, they're low quality. It's either that they're photographs or they're video, and they're low grade video, or it's sonar, and you know the sonar doesn't seem to be the highest caliber technology, so it makes it really tough to tell what you're looking at. Because when I saw the photos, of that hole you were talking about,
yeah,
I'd have never thought that thing was a foot across. I thought it was a couple of inches across.
Yeah, it's really hard to get a sense of the scale. Yeah,
that's the issue.
They say
there.
It's a foot across. I don't know why they didn't just swim over there and somebody stick his arm down there and see what's down there.
Well, how deep is this?
About 290 feet down below the surface.
Is that too deep for a person to dive?
I'm not sure at what point. It's not too deep. People go deeper than that all the time. But at a certain point, I think you need to get, and I don't know a lot about scuba, but at a certain point, you need to do things like saturation diving and stuff like that.
Oh,
but I don't
know,
290.
So you don't get the bends and all of that. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering why they didn't just send somebody down there.
Yeah. And I think when you get to that kind of a depth, that is fairly deep, you probably are pretty limited for your time on the bottom because you've got to go all the way down, and the longer you stay down, then the slower your ascent has to be so you won't get the bends.
Oh, that's a good point.
And
okay.
So if you want to, like, unless you want to maybe take an extra air tank or something like that, maybe.
People do it, but I don't think that these are the kind of people who do it, right?
Yeah. Maybe they can call in the U.S. Navy. The U.S. Navy they have people that do all kinds of stuff like that. So they should call in the U.S. Navy.
Well, there we go.
Investigate. They probably have.
Problem solved.
Yeah, let those guys deal with it. Yeah, so what else? Besides the perfect circle, they found another allegedly round hole about 2 meters wide. And what's interesting about this is it's in the bottom of a square depression. It's a square box-like depression in the anomaly. And in the middle of that box-like depression, there's this perfectly round circle, which is kind of interesting.
And how far away? Is that in the anomaly, or is this the second one?
No, this is in the anomaly.
Okay.
Yeah, and let's see, they also claim that there is a perfectly round hole. Again, they're always perfectly round. And in the side of the object, about 2 feet wide. So I imagine that's probably a drain pipe of some sort, probably the sewer.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. They did find another object not too far away, and that object on sonar came out looking kind of like a cathedral window. But I found an interview with one of the guys. It was Peter Lindbergh is one of the guys that is Ocean X. And he said that when they went over to investigate it, it just turned out to be a bunch of boulders. Nothing. Mm. So nothing special.
So okay. He's not claiming that's something special.
Yeah, no.
Okay, well, that adds a little validity.
A little credibility.
Right? Although, you know, it could be a calculated move, but if you are willing to say, yeah, we originally thought it looked like a window, but we went over and it was just rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Probably you're not at least consciously lying about the first one.
I think the point you're getting at is, as we have talked about before we started recording, is that a lot of the story, not necessarily by the guys who found it, but it's been very sensationalized.
Yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily by these guys either.
No, exactly.
Yeah. And he actually, that same interview, he said that he's 99% sure it's going to turn out to just be rocks.
Yeah.
Just be a big rock formation. He says he's not a believer in UFOs. You know, and he says, but he, at the same time, I think they are milking it for a little bit of publicity.
Well, wouldn't you?
Sure.
I would.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
And it cracks,
we are right now.
Yeah.
It cracks me up because one of the things that I remember reading in an interview is saying, well, we need to get funding to go do more research on it.
Yeah.
At which point he was imploring people to go to their website and buy Ocean X, Team Ocean X, or Ocean X Team, whichever the name is, buy gear gear.
Yeah, buy their gear.
Their shirts and their jackets, their hoodies and stuff.
Yeah. I know.
All right, well, you're milking that a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't even check the pricing on those. Maybe I'll buy a hoodie or something like that.
There you go.
Know. Yeah.
Add to the cause.
By the way, folks, when you're done listening to us, don't forget to check out our gift shop. We've got
on your way out.
We've got a lot of tchotchke.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, another interesting thing is that they found, again, as it's not something you're going to be able to see through scuba diving, but apparently the sonar side scanning equipment they used showed that there is kind of a stretch of ocean, or not ocean, but sea bottom there, that's kind of almost gouged out. Like it's about 1,000 feet long. They call it the runway.
Oh, I heard. I heard a less awesome term. It was called the skid mark.
The skid mark, perfect. Yeah, that works. I'm pretty sure it didn't just didn't come rocketing down, plunge through the water, and skid to a stop on the bottom. But no, maybe it did. So there's the runway.
And it's how big is the runway?
It's about 1,000 feet long and about as wide as the anomaly is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's pretty big then.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's some silt on the object. When their divers scraped away the silt, they said that there was black material underneath. So stranger still. Mm. Anyway, they didn't have a lot of time that first time, so they've gone back since. Like I think that, to my knowledge, they've been back 4 times.
That's what I've seen.
And they recovered some rock fragments. I don't know that they. And this is again something that's a little bit unclear. Is that did they actually get down there and chip these things off of the anomaly itself, or were they just loose rocks laying on the anomaly? They don't really say.
I got the impression that at least some of them were picked up from around it.
Yeah.
I don't know that they tried to break any. I don't know that they could necessarily break something off of it easily.
Uh-huh.
Because they're using an ROV, which those things aren't strong and have a lot of torsion to chunk, take a big chunk of rock off.
Yeah, but you do run the risk if you're just picking up stuff like around it that it's not going to be the same material, right?
Exactly.
And that's actually an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and what do you have any of the analysis of what the stuff that they picked up was? Or
yeah, they had it. They had it analyzed by some scientists who said that it contained limonite and goethite, and that added some fuel to the fire because the guy who did the analysis said that these are not found in nature, and it would point towards modern construction, and that added,
or aliens
or aliens too. Yeah, absolutely. So more than modern construction, super futuristic construction.
So here's the other thing. One of the rocks that they picked up was volcanic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been volcanic activity there.
I know, yeah.
In eons. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was another weird thing. Why is there a chunk of volcanic rock sitting here?
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, there was an explanation for that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to get to
glacial,
that.
Yeah, glacial activity. Yeah. So. Yeah, apparently that used to be home to a glacier, the Baltic Sea, which, and apparently glaciers pick up rocks and carry them a long ways.
Yes.
And then eventually when they melt, they, you know, drop those rocks.
So. Glaciers are hoarders. They really pick stuff up. Oh, no, it's true. They're all over it. There's all kinds of facts and accounts of rocks that are completely out of place. It's you've seen those weird standing rock formations. Like, how did that rock get on top of the other one? And they say that a lot, and these are like the big ones that you see at some of the national parks and around our country, is they say that a lot of those were part of a glacier and they were in different strata of it. And as it melted, they just settled on top of each other and didn't fall over.
So what you're telling me is that Stonehenge was a glacial formation.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Actually, that was about a dozen glacial formations. Oh. They all came and butted heads and just were stuck, you know, and then they melted.
Oh.
Yeah.
We solved another mystery.
I know.
The mystery solving show.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, thank goodness.
Okay, so anyway, but some other geologists have since said that it's actually not unusual to find those things in nature at all. And again, we're talking about limonite and goethite. I hope I'm pronouncing those correctly. Some of them have said that nodules.
Is it geothite? Goethite?
I think it's goethite or goethite or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know. Too lazy to go out on the web and look
at
it.
No, don't worry about it.
I know. So, but other geologists have said that these are actually found in nodules on the seabed. And so it's not really anything out of the ordinary. So much for that. Another thing the team has said is they said that their electronic devices stop working. Like they have a satellite phone that when they're right over the object, it doesn't work. They have to back away from it a couple hundred feet.
Didn't they say they had issues with their lights as well when they were on top of it?
Yeah, they had issues with their lights and their camera.
Why the pictures were gross?
No, not necessarily. But
that's why they can't get good pictures because their camera wouldn't work.
Yeah, I've read accounts where they were saying that a lot of their equipment was attempting to malfunction on them until they got away from it.
It was
200
attempting
feet.
To malfunction.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like the unit they were in didn't just plummet to the bottom and quit working.
Mm-hmm.
It was you had to get away from it in the sub. But they were saying there was problems.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's just faulty equipment or what.
It could just be faulty equipment. I mean, let's face it, you're at seawater, salt. It's not good for electronics.
Several hundred feet under the ocean.
Yeah. Well, they have been able to produce some sonar imaging of the object, and we can post some of that on our website.
Yeah.
For our listeners to go check out.
Yeah, it's hard to tell what's going on, but kind of worth the watch.
They've paired up with a Swedish film crew, and they're supposedly were going to make a documentary, and I have not been able to actually find any evidence that the documentary ever actually came out. I read a news story that it had been aired on Estonian TV. So anyway, apparently I looked around for any copies on the internet. Somebody had posted one on YouTube, but it had been taken down because of copyright infringement.
Of course.
Yeah, so that was it. Was not able to find one of those.
Huh.
As far as their sonar imaging goes, that has been critiqued by some experts. A guy at, I think, Woods Hole Institute looked at it and pointed out that, number one, side-scanning sonar is not really the best way to image things on the bottom of the ocean. You can find stuff, but you're not exactly getting a real picture of it. And he said that looking at that, it looked like they hadn't calibrated it properly, and it looked like it was kind of low-quality equipment.
Because there was echoes in it.
There were a lot of echoes and other artifacts in it. And so when you see things that look like straight lines and stuff like that, now that's probably just an artifact of your electronics and not...
Not writing it correctly.
Doesn't necessarily mean this thing was man-made. It's just something introduced by your equipment.
Didn't they say that the same thing about some of the dark areas that are shown on those side scans?
Mm-hmm.
This is what raged around the internet at first is, it looks like the Millennium Falcon.
I know.
It does actually
it
look
kinda
a lot
does,
like the Millennium Falcon.
But then it's got these weird dark lines across the top, mm-hmm. and you can't tell what's going on, which, it makes it look like maybe those are deep cracks or something. And he was saying that that's mm-hmm. also not the same issue because they're kind of straight, but they shouldn't be dark like that.
I'm not really an expert on side scanning sonar. I don't know exactly how it works. I'm kind of assuming that it takes slices of a picture. So what you're seeing in that is probably a reconstruction of a lot of blips that have gone out.
I read that the side scanning sonar is not just one, but it's two that mm-hmm. are then fed in to a computer that then assembles it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and so it's not calibrated correctly.
Exactly. So they should both be, let's say, pointing exactly straight down,
mm-hmm.
but they're off kilter a little bit towards or away, or probably towards each other, which mm-hmm. is what's causing the echoes, because the front one is picking up stuff from what the rear one's throwing and vice versa.
And I think that this is probably not the highest quality sonar because even Peter Lindbergh himself said that they were having trouble with their stabilization of the gear, and there's those things are supposed to have stable like gyros or whatever in them
mm-hmm.
that keep them pointed in the proper direction. And apparently there's either was non-existent or not working that well.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as looking at this thing and saying, oh, wow, that's a picture of it. Well, not really. It's kind of like looking at an ultrasound. I mean, I've looked at people's ultrasounds of their unborn children.
Mm.
And they're going, look at this. And I look at it, and I'm like, I don't see anything.
Or like I can kind of see the curve of a head.
Yeah.
But that also could just be like, who knows what,
gas
that could
bubble.
Be some undigested food.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the way side scanning sonar is. It doesn't really give you a clear picture. So anyway, the imaging has been severely critiqued and it's been said to not really be accurate or reliable as far as telling us what's down there. Meanwhile, I'm not really sure if they've actually acquired this or not, but OceanX was talking about acquiring a tourist submarine because you can buy those things. They're the ones that have all the big domes, the glass domes
mm-hmm.
in the sides and the front. So And so people can buy tickets and ride in this thing and look at the domes, and they can actually take them to view the anomaly. Mm. And they have pictures of this submarine on their website.
And they have pictures of them in it, but I didn't know if they actually were just checking it out and took some photos while
they
were there.
That's what I was wondering. Did you guys buy this, or are you just at the car lot buying it? Sitting around and taking pictures of it at the sub lot.
So I guess one of my biggest questions about this whole thing is, like, why haven't other people gone and checked it out? You know, people with, like, better equipment. There are a lot of people, right, who are really interested in deep sea anomalies like this. Mm-hmm. Who have really good equipment and go and explore a lot of deep sea things. So, like, why haven't any of those groups taken interest in this? And
like Jacques Cousteau? Yeah, but
yes, I mean, you know, I guess that's like a big question mark in my head. Is like,
I think these
why
guys.
Why is it just these guys?
Yeah, I think these guys are keeping it. They're keeping the exact location secret.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, they haven't. They haven't disclosed where it's at yet.
Oh. Yeah. It's somewhere between Finland and Sweden.
Yeah. That's not super helpful.
Yeah, not really. Yeah. Okay. So but anyway.
I guess, yeah, it's just a detriment to them, right? Because if they could get other people in here to, like, explore it, they could have access to better equipment.
Yeah, they could.
Better understand what's actually going on down there.
But they're salvage operators, so they practice the art of mum's the word until I can guarantee I know what it is and then haul it up or make some money on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're not going to, like, you know, but you would think they could at least find some investors or find a partner, somebody with more money and better equipment that would, you know,
there are a lot of crazy rich people out there.
Oh, yeah. Bill Gates.
Somebody's got to be. Yeah. Bill Gates. Just ask him for some money.
Absolutely.
According to my email, he's giving it away all the time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he does. I know. I've sent him like thousands of emails demanding money. All I got was a cease and desist order. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so this kind of activity on their part has caused some people to suspect their motives in this whole thing. And they're benefiting from keeping this thing as mysterious as possible because they're making money off. I don't know how much money they're selling on their website, but I imagine they're selling some stuff.
Yeah.
And if they can actually gull a bunch of wealthy people into buying tickets for the little submarine tour to go see the anomaly, then that'll be a nice little moneymaker for them. And obviously, the best thing for them is gotten them some publicity. Mm-hmm. And so nobody ever heard of them before. And now apparently they say that they have been. They have actually signed some sort of a deal with some Panamanian Indians who have exclusive rights to this area off the Panamanian coast.
Really?
And there are shipwrecks out there, apparently, like from, you know, ships coming from South America and Caribbean Islands, whatever, you know, and obviously loaded with lots of gold and stuff like that. And so there's probably all, you know.
There's a lot of money to be made there.
Yeah, so, you know, if that actually is true and if that pans out for those guys, then that could make them lots of money. And maybe at that point they'll just say, okay, here's where the anomaly is. We don't care anymore. Yeah, here's the latitude and longitude. Yeah, so anyway, other people have put forward some other theories. I mean, we talked about the UFO theory that are out there so far. There's about four of them. One is that, of course, it's a UFO.
Right.
Another theory is that it's a turret from an old battleship. And I don't know that any turret was ever made that was that big. So I don't
shape?
Yeah, I was going to say the shape is wrong to me to be a turret.
Yeah.
Plus, you would think it would have bigger holes in it.
Yeah, this is a guy from Discover Magazine who put this particular theory out. Yeah,
does he mean that it's like a 200 feet wide turret, right? It's a 200 foot diameter?
Uh-huh, turret, yeah.
Oh, so that it's like a...
The gun turret.
Yeah.
You know, the gun turret that rotates on a battleship?
No, yeah, no, I understand that. I just, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now, so...
I was picturing...
I have
something else.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't have time to go out and check James fighting ships to see, like, you know, what, like, World War I era battleships were sunk in the Baltic. But those turrets actually on the old battleships like that, they're not really anchored. They just, you know, gravity holds them in place. So if a ship sank and it turned over,
tumbled, flipped,
then that turret could indeed fall off of it and come to rest on the floor of the sea there. Mm. But there'd be a nice big shipwreck very close by.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
at least fairly close by.
Yeah.
Right?
You would think that it would have started to rust pretty severely
after
that much time.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not really buying the whole turret theory myself. But we'll see after they manage to get back out there with a whole lot of money and cool gear and stuff. We'll find out. Another an ex-Swedish sailor, somebody who used to be with the Swedish Navy apparently, put forth another theory, which is that it's the base of a World War II era Nazi anti-submarine warfare structure or device. And
I kind of like that theory, actually.
I didn't quite get this.
I didn't either. Well, you know, so the idea is that they would build this concrete and steel structure, and it would have wire mesh in it. And somehow the wire mesh in this, it's a little vague, the descriptions I've heard, but the wire mesh would spook a submarine's radar systems and cause it to lose its bearings and crash. And that confuses me. I don't know what the guy's talking about because submarines don't generally use radar.
When I read it, when I was reading this theory, what I got from it was, remember how we talked about they said that they had issues with their equipment when they were near it?
Yeah, exactly.
And what I understood it to be was more of it was throwing out some kind of field, I don't know what kind of field that would be, that was going to mess with it, not just mess up its sonar and tell it it's at the wrong depth or angle, but more it would really screw everything up, and then, you know, kind of like their sat phone, things would just stop working, and then they would sink to the bottom and be done.
And explode.
It could mess with sonar in some way, that it would send back kind of like blips or like anomalous blips or something like that.
The problem I've had with this is I've been reading accounts by journalists who obviously don't know anything about submarine anti-submarine warfare, and the description of exactly how this messed with the submarines is still kind of beyond me. I mean, because it interferes with their radar. Well, submarines don't generally use active radar because it gives away their position.
That's right. We've talked about this.
Yeah,
we
learned this on a previous joke.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
Surcouf.
Yeah,
Surcouf.
Surcouf. The Nazis were pretty scrupulous about keeping records, and there would be something in the history books about this. If they had built some enormous structure at the bottom of the Baltic Sea, I mean,
we would know.
We would know about it.
But, Joe, we don't know about, I mean, they didn't keep records about the fact that they are now living in the center of the Earth. The Nazis are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I thought they were on the moon.
Yeah.
No, they're in the middle of the Earth.
Yeah, I know.
With the lizard people.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I know. Well,
because, you know, the Earth is hollow.
They were pretty careful on their way out the door to destroy stuff like that would give away their position.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, so as far as the Baltic Sea anomaly, I don't think they would have cared about that at this point. They're,
all right.
They're,
okay.
They're wanting to grab all their valuables and just head down and join the, what people are they? The
lizard.
The lizard people?
Yeah,
the lizard
people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
They throw heinous parties.
Yeah.
They throw awesome.
Wicked,
parties.
Heinous.
Yeah. Okay, so I would have to say that unless there's some major disclosure, some historian comes across some evidence of them building something like this 280 feet down in the Baltic Sea, I'd have to say that this is not a credible theory.
Well, I guess the other thing that comes up, right, is how did they build it that deep?
Right? Yeah.
They probably would have built it on land and then
take it out there and drop it.
Just dropped it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing I can think of. And,
right, because they wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, and it's conceivable that they could have done something like that. That'd be a major project. I mean, how would you float something that huge and heavy out to the middle of the Baltic Sea and drop it?
Yeah, that's a little weird. And I swear I read something in an accounting that was saying that this was similar to, I think it was on this story. I've been reading a lot of stuff lately, but something about the Brits were doing something similar to mess with U-boats around England. And so they would put things out there and they would mess with them. But their ships, of course, knew the proper path to get through. But it was a deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like, I can't think of it. Star Wars is the only thing I can think of. Like the Star Wars program that we were going to do in the 80s with Reagan.
Uh-huh.
It was something that where it was a bunch of beams of something in the ocean, but it somehow messed them up. But I couldn't find a correlation and make it sync up. So I didn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't follow it.
Also, how big a problem were submarines in the Baltic Sea during that war? You know, I mean, like, worth that kind of investment to, like, maybe kind of mess with them?
Yeah, maybe, because, I mean, the Soviets, they have a Baltic Sea fleet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and so they, they would have been sending submarines through the Baltic all the time. So,
yes, that's true.
Yeah, so it might have been worth their investment, but it just seems like kind of I have no idea how this supposed thing was supposed to work.
Yeah.
Usually anti-submarine defenses tend to be more like things like nets and cables and stuff like that.
Maybe it was supposed to be like a net would be there, and then the submarine would be coming along and would trigger something, and they would let the net up, and the trigger and the submarine would be like, oh, no, I'm
caught. Help me! But yeah, it's too late.
Crash. And yeah, then they would like pull the net back in and it would be like released for the next one.
I like it.
Yeah.
So if they crack this thing open, what they're going to find is a whole bunch of Soviet subs in there, rusting Soviet subs. I like it.
That sounds very much like every bad movie I've watched where they're running along and then the net scoops them up. That's what that's akin to me.
Uh-huh. Well, it was the Nazis and they did some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, they did. They did some interesting.
They had some ideas that were really bad.
They had some very unique ideas. I will admit.
So you have accepted that they are living underneath us.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, because I don't believe in the lizard people. So therefore, they can't be living with the lizard people.
Yeah,
so they're not there.
Certainly, the Earth is hollow. We all know this, but. And there's yet another theory, which is that this is the drain plug of the world. I mean, it's perfectly round. And so if we pop that,
Makes sense,
we'll just drain the oceans and we'll have so much more land to work with.
That's perfect.
Okay, I made that one up.
I've actually seen that.
Somebody actually said that?
No, you did. Yeah. I'm kidding.
Yeah, okay. No, it could be the drain plug. Yeah, so what they need to do is go back.
It's a bathtub plug.
Yeah, if they go back and look, there's probably a little chain attached to the center of that thing, and they just need to pull on that. Wow.
That's my favorite theory so far.
Okay, so let's count down the theories one more time. Okay, we've got UFO, the anti-submarine warfare structure / device.
Oh, no.
The turret from an old battleship. Rock outcropping, train plug of the world. So that's five theories. What are you guys voting for?
Devin?
I like drain plug of the world.
Okay.
Yeah, or Nazi, like, Venus flytrap net situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Personally, I think that I'm going more with the rock outcropping, just because it was known that there was big honking glaciers in that area a long, long time ago, and they were known to drag stones around, which to me would explain the runway.
Yeah.
Is if it is on the bottom of a glacier and it's being drug along with the glacier until it finally breaks free and it's really burrowed its way in there. That would make sense to me.
Maybe, yeah. Something like that's a possibility.
And that, you know, if it was being drug along, it was probably being drug along for a really, really long time, right? So that would kind of explain its round shape that had been worn into
and then the glacier would have been scraping across the top of it once it let go of it, so that might explain part of its dome shape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is me spitballing here, but that's the only thing that I can come up with that makes sense.
Yeah.
The fact is that, nature produces all sorts of interesting objects all the time that seem incredible, but, you know.
It's totally just nature.
Yeah, it's totally nature. It's just randomness.
What do you like, Joe?
I'm kind of between rock outcropping and drain plug.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to have to flip a coin here.
Yeah.
Hang on. Flip. Tink. Rock. Yeah, that's how lazy I am. I'm too lazy to get up and go find a quarter. Yeah, okay, it's a rock outcropping. All right, there you go, folks. Mystery solved. Yeah, this is kind of a short episode. Sorry, I know that's probably going to be disappointing to a lot of you. Yeah, but next
that's
time...
That's okay, you just listened to an hour and a half last week.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
Okay, so anyway, if you all would like to find cool pictures of their sonar scans and other stuff, and also links to various sources, check out our website, which is thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. And you can leave comments, you can check out our links, listen to episodes there. And yeah, please do leave comments. We like comments.
Absolutely.
We're getting a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're trying to respond to them.
Yeah, we are trying to respond. Our interns, we now have two interns. Okay, I'm lying.
They're cats.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, you can find us on iTunes. So if you do find us on iTunes, please subscribe and leave us a review and a rating. We'd love that.
Yeah, well, we've been getting more and more on there, and that's always fun to go see, which is a good time.
Yeah,
so
and it's good feedback, too.
Yeah.
You know, some of you have left a little notes, and we're going to try and take care of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Not all of it's 100% positive. Sometimes people have
sometimes
valuable...
it's only 90% positive. It's fine.
Constructive criticism is perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, no, it's very helpful. And also, people have been giving us ideas and stuff like that, too, which is great.
Yeah.
Anyway, besides iTunes, you can also find us on Stitcher and find us on Facebook. You can like us. I don't think you can unlike us. Can you unlike? Can you dislike somebody on Facebook? I don't think that's allowed, is
only
it?
Only once you've liked them.
Yeah. You can unlike them,
but like
you can't dislike
them. So like us only to
dislike us. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, like us on Facebook and follow us on Facebook. And if you want to send us an email, our email is thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com.
I think Joe is like the Jewish mother of our show.
Huh?
Why so? Just always guilting everyone into things.
Why don't you listen to us? Don't you love us?
You should be so lucky.